Y'all new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid. I wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports NFL Podcast. I'm Obrins and I'm your host, joined by John Breach and Tyler Sullivan. It's not how you pronounce Tom Sullivan, but all of them, whatever. To do some draft bowl predictions. The draft is upon us. Happy draft day. What's up, fellas?
What's going on? It's finally coming to a close, right? I mean, we're finally getting into what is actually going to happen as opposed to what could happen.
And I am celebrating draft day by drinking draft beer. That's what you do on draft day, right?
I like it. By the way, the NFL, how about you toss that schedule out? Go and get that schedule out before the draft so we can get on with the whole, you know, vacation thing, like off season. The NFL, obsessed with owning the moment like throughout the entire calendar year, has now pushed the schedule by the schedule release back into May after the later draft period in order to just soak up everything until June 1st. You basically have 6 weeks of off season, but hey. Like we always say, more football, good for us, right, Breach?
Well, you know what's funny, Brinson, is that basically happened by accident because the schedule used to come out before the draft, and then because of COVID, they weren't sure how things were going to fall into place, and they said, all right, we need to push the schedule release till May. And then they were like, you know what? We actually like this, so let's just keep it in May, and that's where we are now. We're stuck with that.
It was always a little surprising, too, that they would – like jam the schedule release, which they tout, like they have an announcement about the announcement of the release, right? I mean, that they would jam it in on like a random Wednesday, 2 weeks before the draft, like a week before the draft, when if you let the draft play out, you know where the rookie quarterbacks are going. You know what matchups you might be able to get. Like, I mean, remember the Mariota Winston year in 2016, they just happened to get Tampa Bay and Tennessee playing against one another. And so we got that matchup, but you know, now you can, I mean, you can't force which teams are going to, you know, are going to play each other, but you can put, you know, if you get two rookie quarterbacks squaring off, like if we get Jayden Daniels against Drake May or Caleb Williams against one of those guys or JJ McCarthy or whatever, you know, depending on where they go, you can slot one of those games into primetime and people will be interested because it's rookie quarterbacks. Yeah, I mean, it makes all the sense in the world to release the schedule after the draft, honestly.
And here we are, Okay. Getting it in 2 weeks. And we'll probably have a schedule show, but that's not this show, right?
That is right. All right. Harry's done. This is that. We're doing bowl predictions a little differently. We're not doing it in like where we each have like three bowl predictions. I see that my bowl prediction is slotted first, but I don't really have one ready. So we're going to go to Breach for his bold prediction
I think it's like boldest prediction. I just think it's like we'll grade the bold predictions and we'll just see how we do.
And we'll just roll with it.
Yeah, I'm not really interested in like keeping this tight or focused at all.
All right. You know what, Brenton? I have a couple, so I'll just throw them all out there. You know,
we'll throw out one at a time and we'll grade them and then we'll go around the horn.
Okay. I'll start with, I think six quarterbacks go in the first round. We've been here and look, that's only been happening. That's only happened once in the entire history of the draft back in 1983, that famed draft class. And it's kind of hard to believe it has not happened a single time since. Obviously everyone talking about, we know the top three quarterbacks, Jaden Daniels, Caleb Williams, Drake May. Then we also have JJ McCarthy. And then now it feels like maybe Bo Nix or Michael Penix Jr. will also sneak into the first round. And if that happens, boom, we're making history here. But the problem is, if you end up with one of those six quarterbacks, there is a good chance, probably, 50% of them will end up being busts. For those of you who don't remember the 1983 draft, that was when John Elway, Todd Blackledge, Jim Kelly, Tony Eason, Ken O'Brien, and Dan Marino all got drafted. And of course, only a few of those became household names. So I do think we will see all six taken in, or six quarterbacks taken in the first round.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be really interesting to see specifically Michael Penix and Bo Nix. Both of those guys, when we were doing the odds show earlier this week, they had their over-under set at 32.5. And Penix feels a little bit
Penix's under, by the way, is under 32.5 is juice like -275.
Yeah. So it really – and we've been seeing a crazy range. I mean, JJ had him going 8 overall to the Falcons in his mock draft. It's just such a crazy swing for him specifically. For Bo Nix, for me at least, it feels like Broncos are bust. Like, it just feels like that's the way the winds are blowing. So if we get past Denver – and Bo Nix is still on the board. Like, if they miss out on, you know, a quarterback that they really like, I don't know if they reach for Bo Nix. It's going to just take a really desperate team, I think, to bring him aboard.
I will just throw on top of that, Sully, I think the Vikings could also make sense for Bo Nix, because you look at what Kevin O'Connell, kind of in that Sean Payton mold where he wants an accurate quarterback who's going to play within his system. And you look at the Vikings did last year, running a lot of play action. Bo Nix, pretty solid. He just fits the mold of what O'Connell might look for in a quarterback. And if he's there at 23rd overall, because, you know, whatever, the Vikings keep all of their picks, I could see the Vikings taking him at 23. So I think those are the two teams, kind of when I thought Nix would be taking the first round, to be one of those two teams that ended up taking him.
Yeah, I'll tell you this real quickly, because Emory Hunt kind of gave me, you know, he said it on the show earlier this week that he liked, if he gets out of the first round, Bo Nix, he threw out the Rams as a possible destination for him as well. And I'm not going to lie, I did place a wager on that. So that will be really fun if that hits.
What was the were the odds for Bo Nix to the Rams?
I will pull that up for you right now. But they have some pick in the second round that made a lot of sense. Obviously not with the first.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think – We were talking about, and by the way, along these same lines, worth noting, I mean, I think it'll be out. So this podcast is coming out on Thursday, right? Which is draft day. We recorded a little bit earlier. On Wednesday night, we did a 7-man mock draft for CBS Sports HQ. You can watch it. I'm sure it's on the site. And probably it might have been on television. I can't remember exactly where it was going to be. But the point being is, I think Pete Prisco did some – oh, this is out today. This is Wednesday, so happy draft day tomorrow. you don't notice what day it is. Time travel is amazing. Anyway, I think, like, Prisco – oh, no, Prisco had Penix taken at 12 to the Broncos. And then in the box show we did with Brady and Dews on Tuesday, which you can check out on the YouTube feed, obviously, Brady had the Vikings trade up to 5 with the Chargers to take Penix, not McCarthy, which is just would be fascinating. And I sort of wonder, or maybe there's the Raiders. Yeah, the Raiders traded up to 5. Excuse me. Raiders and the Chargers traded in that mock draft. That's what it was, not the Vikings. But either way, you get the point. Like, the Chargers are willing to trade with a division opponent to get them a quarterback. like I saw Connor Allen, a buddy of mine, tweet out like, oh, Michael Pittman's agent deserves an award for doing the best job of like pumping up his stock. I feel like people really like Penix, and it's kind of flying under the radar. The only issue, you know, it's sort of one of these COVID guys where he's got injuries and his age. You know, he played a lot of college football. By the way, I pointed out 1,680 something passes for Michael Penix's college career. I pointed out to Brady, not realizing Brady also attempted 1,600 passes in his college career. But that was obviously, you know, but way back in the day when, you know, he stayed for 4 years. But I mean, Penix has been bouncing around all these different spots. You just sort of wonder, is there a team out there that falls in love with Michael Penix and takes him early on? And if that's the case, and then you have J.J. McCarthy like go to the Vikings at 11 or whatever it is, then I think Bo Nix is a stone-cold lock for the first round. And then that's how Breach is, you know, if Penix goes in the top 15 picks, it probably means that either J.J. McCarthy's – it definitely means either J.J. McCarthy's falling a little bit, or we're going to probably get six quarterbacks in the first round because McCarthy's already gone, and then Nix is a guy that you hear stuff that the teams really like him. Again, he's older, but these COVID year guys, this bell curve on these COVID year guys is just fascinating.
11-1, by the way, on Bo Nix.
And you know what? That's good odds. I want to throw a fun fact there. Les Snead, the Rams general manager, went to college with Bo Nix's dad at Auburn. Wow. So there is some Nix-Rams ties, Sully. So if that cashes, you can buy draft beers for all of us. And maybe I should get even bolder based on Brinson's explanation and just say six quarterbacks in the top 20, because that would make history. It was six quarterbacks in the first 27 picks and 83. The six in the top 20 sounds possible, or six in the top 23, because that's when the Vikings pick.
Insane that Dan Marino went 27th, by the way. I mean, what are we doing here? Yeah, I like that one. Sully, what do you got for bold prediction?
I'll give you one here. I have two of them, but the first one will be about trades in this first round. I think that the Vikings will not make a trade. They will make picks at number 11 and at pick number 23.
That's pretty bold, have been. Actually. Oh, sorry. Wait, actually, Sully, I screwed up. We got a grade Breach's bold prediction. I'm sorry.
Oh, sure.
I'll give Breach an A. I think it's a good pick. Good bold prediction.
I'll give it. Yeah, I'm right with you. Give it an A. Right. That makes a lot of sense.
All right, Sully, go ahead. I was just thinking like how I was going to grade yours, and I figured we got a good pick.
All good. Yeah, go all good. I think Minnesota does not make a trade, is unable to make a trade in the first round. They make the picks at 11 and 23. And I think they've been the darling, right, of this pre-draft cycle. Every person who's ever done a mock draft has them trading up to number four or number five with the Arizona Cardinals or the Chargers to select either J.J. McCarthy or Drake May or whoever it's going to be. I think that New England is going to stay pat and probably draft Drake May. And I think the New York Giants are a team that could very easily flip to four or five to bring in J.J. McCarthy. And then if you're Minnesota, I don't know if there's a realistic path to jump as high as you could go with all these assets to get Michael Penix. I think he might be available to you at number 10 or at number 11. So I could see a scenario where they kind of get boxed out because New York has that higher pick. They only flip a spot or two, and you're sitting there in Minnesota saying, okay, we just missed out on that first wave.
I dig it. I think it is. I think what's fascinating about this draft and sort of doing these mock drafts is everything is so chalky. Like everything, and that's just not how the NFL draft works ever. Everything seems so obvious. It's so written in stone that the top, you know, I mean, we know Caleb is going to go one. It does seem like at this point that Jaden Daniels is going to be two. I still don't rule out the idea that it's Drake May at two. Like, I think it's just, it's odd to me that everyone's just writing it off when, you know, Washington is playing it close to the best. Like, by all accounts, Adam Peters hadn't told anybody what he's going to do with the number two overall pick. Then you have May to the Patriots, I think, is written in stone. And it feels like now that the Cardinals are not going to move out of four because they love Marvin Harrison Jr. And why wouldn't they? You know, theoretically, generational wide receiver prospect. Plus, you have this, like, the idea that, like I saw Darren Urban of azcardinals.com or whatever put out a story. It's like, basically, I don't want to say he's like doing like PR work for the team. I mean, he's writing for the team website, but it was using Monty Ossenfort's quotes and then using quotes from Joe Horace, the Chargers GM as well, to point out that it's fair trades in a situation like this with excess quarterbacks and a demand for, so with the supply and the demand running as hot as it is for these quarterbacks, and the supply is huge and the demand is huge. Fair trades don't exist, right? Like, it's like 11 and 23 equal four. Well, yes, in a vacuum they do. However, this is not a vacuum. This is a situation where quarterbacks. So I don't think the Cardinals are going to find a suitor willing to give up what they want to. Like, I don't think the Cardinals want to move down to 12 or 13 or 11, even 11. And I don't think they're going to do that for less than, like, absolutely a future first. So I think they end up staying there. And then the question, then in theory, like, the draft kind of starts with the Chargers and whether they're willing to move down. I'll give you a B+, Sully, only because you boxed yourself in accidentally by saying that the Vikings would pick at 11 and 23.
Sure. Sure.
And they could possibly like trade down to 25 and take it. But okay. I agree with you. I think there's a decent chance that the Vikings don't trade, make this big swing up. Yeah. And they're playing chicken with the Cardinals and the Chargers, basically. And I don't know that they're gonna win.
Yeah, I'll give you an A-, Sully. I think if I were the general manager of the Vikings, I wouldn't trade up. I would be content at 11 and 23. Maybe if I can get the third overall and get Drake May, I'd think about it. But I think I've said this in the past, or said it last week, that I'm just not trading up to get the fourth QB in the draft. At that point, I'm just saying I'm going to let the draft fall to me and see who's available at 11, whether that's Penix, Nix, maybe J.J. McCarthy's there. I mean, you just don't know what's going to happen in that fourth spot. Maybe the Giants take J.J. McCarthy. Who knows? But if I can't get one of the top three, I'm not going to roll the die. I'm just going to sit there and say, you know what? I'm going to take who's there at 11. And that's that. So, yeah, I like this.
Did you say roll the die?
I'm not going to.
Just a single one? Just one die? This is a single roll. Pick. Who rolls the die?
You roll 11th the dice. Overall is one pick, so you roll one die.
I mean, sure, but that's not the expression.
I wish this was your bold prediction so I can give you a C+ just for saying roll the die. Breach's out here playing like single die games. It's nice, man.
I love single die games.
I also love how we all, I think, like, I feel like I only refer to him as the Vikings GM because I'm scared I'm going to mess up the pronunciation. I was just about to say something and I completely slipped my mind. So, let's take a break, unless anybody has something to add, and we'll come back and I'll give you my bold prediction. Next!
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Like, literally, I had something in my brain to say that was going to be an add-on to, like, the whole Vikings trade. Oh, I know what it was. Then, like, roll the die broke my brain. I don't think it's, like, insane to suggest that the Vikings could compete for a wild card spot by adding two quality pieces in this draft and rolling with Sam Darnold. It's not insane, right?
I mean, not out of the realm of possibility. I mean, they, like, you know, I've said this before. I think it was Cody Benjamin that is the staff writer for us. He had everybody polled, you know, uncommon draft opinions or something along those lines was the story. And mine was that every quarterback in this class should be clamoring to go to the Vikings because of the infrastructure that's already in place. Justin Jefferson, Jordan Addison, TJ Hockenson, two bookend tackles, an offensive-minded head coach. Like, it's a great landing spot. So if you, like you're saying, Will, if you just add two more great pieces, maybe one on defense, one on offense, yeah, okay, that's a competent team that could maybe sneak in as a wild card spot. It wouldn't shock me at all.
Kwesi Adofo-Mensah is the Vikings GM, by the way. I just always, like, I don't know why I think I'm going to mess up his name. I just always feel like I am going to. So that's why I Googled it and then said it out loud so I don't look like a total idiot. All right, my bold prediction, And I mean, I guess I think this is pretty bold. I'm going to go breachy in on it a little bit by giving myself multiple avenues and I'll let y'all to figure out what they are. The New York Giants leave Thursday night with Drake May on their roster.
Okay.
Now, the two avenues here, actually, I'll just tell you what they are because I didn't bring enough shocks in the hall, so I'll fill the void. One, that they trade up from 6-3 with the New England Patriots in order to get him. I think that's a trade that could facilitate the Patriots picking up J.J. McCarthy at 6, which, you know, again, I was talking about this to some friends. There's also the chance that the Patriots draft Drake. This is like not a crazy idea. The Patriots draft Drake May at 3. Hold him. Do you know where I'm going with this, Ellie?
It's Philip Rivers, the Cardinals. And Eli Manning, right?
Yeah, but you wait until the Pats are on the clock at 6. Or excuse me, before the Giants are on the clock at 6, before you actually agree, like finalize the deal. Like they're okay going with Drake May, but they don't want to, but they'd rather get the extra picks and J.J. McCarthy than Drake May. Like that's the Patriots' preference in this hypothetical, because there is this connection with, I mean, Tom Brady, Bob Kraft, J.J. McCarthy, you know, I mean, the Michigan connection with Brady and McCarthy, and then of course the love of Kraft and Brady. I think the Krafts would love coming out of this draft, adding picks and adding J.J. McCarthy and just being like, all right, J.J. McCarthy's just going to stick it to Bill as like the new like first round version of Tom Brady. It's kind of delusional and it doesn't really make sense. But then you watch like Dynasty on Apple TV, and you're like, all right, I mean, like, it's not that far fetched for the Krafts to do something outrageous to try to jam it to Belichick. The other possibility, I think that's not that wild, is the Pats just draft J.J. McCarthy at 3 and Drake May falls to 6. Where the Giants get him, or the Giants call the Cardinals and say, "Hey, we'd like to trade to 4." They make that trade. I think the Cardinals would be willing to do that because they can say, "All right, we're getting this. Like, maybe you're getting a future first. I don't know if you're getting that much for a 6-4 swap. If Drake May is sitting there, you're going to get like a hefty chunk of change from the Giants, and then you flip down to 6, and you know you're getting either Marvin Harrison Jr. or Malik Nabers. So one of these convoluted ways the Giants figure out how to get Drake May on their roster heading out of Thursday night's draft.
Yeah, I give it a B+. I mean, you know, again, it's a little convoluted, but again, the draft is convoluted and all these crazy things happen all the time. I mean, just brought it up. It's a scenario like where the Chargers drafted Eli Manning and then New York was able to get their quarterback and they were able to flip them later on. So yeah, no, you can totally see something along those lines happening. You know, my question is, and by the way, you brought up the Michigan Robert Kraft thing. I thought I said it on here. I think I actually said it on a conference call, like offline with everybody. You know that if the Patriots draft J.J. McCarthy, Robert Kraft is going to have a line that says, you know, well, we do have luck drafting Michigan quarterbacks after all.
Like Michigan men.
You just know that that's going to happen. It's going to be some sort of tagline somewhere, and that's driving me semi.
Bring back Brady for McCarthy's press conference or like some, you know.
Yeah. It's that would be absolutely remarkable. But I do think the Brady factor is real because I do think, you know, there was even reporting around it that, you know, there was, you know, a little bit of, you know, maybe, I don't know if it's, you know, rooting for it or, you know, full on trying to convince Robert Kraft. But I think Brady, there is a connection there with J.J. McCarthy in some capacity, not just outside of them being Michigan guys. So it could happen. I would personally, as someone up here, I'd rather Drake May, but we'll see what happens.
Well,
just worth noting too, like, I don't know, you can kind of watch J.J. McCarthy and the way he played at Michigan and sort of envision early career Tom Brady, who a guy who just finds a way to win every step of the way, is kind of a game manager, has that theoretical upside, all those things.
Yeah, it's funny that Sully mentioned that they'll cut to Kraft and he'll say the whole, we got another Michigan quarterback, because then they're going to cut to Bill Belichick on the Pat McAfee show and he's going to be like, we got an unproven Michigan quarterback in the 6th round. This was a total reach. There's no way J.J. McCarthy should have been picked at 3rd overall or 6th overall or wherever the Patriots end up. He's kind of unproven. Yes, he has that mentality, that go out and win mentality. But this is not a guy who should have been taken 3rd overall. So that will be the flip side of that, is that, you know, you can compare him.
I think he'll be like overly complimentary of whatever the Patriots do on purpose.
No, that wasn't bashing. He's seen how this whole thing is. That was just comparing his the sixth round pick versus the first round pick, saying that, yes, McCarthy has the he plays like a winner. He wins games. That's what you want. But we did that in the sixth round. You got that in the first round, especially if Kraft rubs in the pick. Yeah, I mean, I like this, Brins. I think it would be fascinating if the Giants end up with Drake May. I'll give it a B-plus also. And if they do, I mean, that, again, the draft is so unpredictable, and we're talking about total unpredictability starting with that third pick, because we don't know if the Patriots are going to take Drake May or J.J. McCarthy or trade out of it. And the Giants ending up with Drake May would be definitely make for a wild Thursday night.
All right, Breach, you've got another bold prediction.
All right, let's throw this one in. We see at least one team make a monster trade in the first round where they move up at least 15 spots.
Ooh.
I'll throw the Bills in there. I didn't list a specific team, but I'll throw the Bills in there because they feel like a likely candidate. This is not something we see very often over the past 10 years. And this is draft day trades. We're not talking before the draft. This is, you're on the clock. You got to get the trade done. So it only counts draft day. Over the past 10 years, there have only been two draft day trades where a team traded up at least
the Chiefs and the Bills, right?
The Chiefs to get Patrick Mahomes in 2017, not the Bills. No, anybody want to guess? You want to guess again on the other one?
The Julio Jones trade didn't count, obviously.
No, only the past 10 years.
Okay.
But Julio Jones would be a good example of what I think the Bills will do.
Yeah, the 15 spots or more. Was it the Saints to get Marcus Davenport?
It was the Saints moved up 13 spots. That was a good guess. Mm. It's still one of the all-time most.
Producer Harry's a good guess, except it was over 10 years ago. The Dolphins get Deion Jordan.
That was over 10 years ago, and
that was in 2013. But that was a big move up. Give us a division. What division was the team in?
NFC North, and it was recent.
NFC North. Oh, the Packers get Jordan Love.
No, it was the Lions trading with the Vikings, go from 32 to 12 to get Jameson Williams.
Oh, God. They went up, I didn't realize they went up 15 spots to get J-Mo. Oh, yeah, because they had the 32nd pick from the Rams, because the Rams won the Super Bowl. Right. See, I wasn't thinking, that's good. Wow, that's crazy.
20 spots is insane, and that was just 2 years ago. Yeah. So, yeah, I think we see at least – so it's only happened twice over the past 10 years. I think we see it happen Thursday night.
I love
it. I'll give that a B plus. I mean, it's only happened three times in the last 10 years. If you want to give me a minus, I wouldn't hate it. You gave me a B plus, so I'm being spitefully reciprocal. It's the Bills make a lot of sense. And I think the name that you would peg the Bills for to move up would be Rome Odunze, too, right? Where Odunze dips far enough that the Bills can get within striking range. Like he falls past the Bears at 9. And then who's at 10?
The Jets.
Jets and Bills probably not doing that deal, but maybe you could see, let's say like the quarterbacks are off the board, Odunze slips into the teens, maybe the Saints or Raiders are willing
to. The Bears at 9 would be the spot, because the Bears only have 4 picks in the draft, so they're going to be, they'd probably be open to adding some, and they could pretty much name their asking price if Buffalo's trying to move up 18 spots.
That's true. I was just thinking like the Saints or the Raiders might be willing to move back to where Buffalo was, get like a future first, and then they can draft Bo Nix at like, what are the Bills, like 26 or 20, 27 maybe?
28.
They are 28.
28, yeah.
I like it. I give it a little bit higher than that, just because, again, it's something that hasn't happened in a while, and it would be something along those lines of a Super Bowl contender having to jump extremely high to probably draft a flashy position like wide receiver. You mentioned Buffalo. Sneaky San Francisco, too. Like, if you can attach 31 in Brandon Ayuk to a team to really jump as high as you can to replace him and bring in a star-studded cheap wide receiver, wouldn't hate that either.
Okay. So you got any more bold predictions like floating around that you want to throw out?
I'll give you a quick one. I think that the Cowboys come away from this NFL draft with a quarterback, and I think that quarterback is Spencer Rattler, which sends off a lot of drama in Big Dick.
In the first round or second round?
No, not in first round. Okay. End of day two, beginning of day three.
Hey, look, that's an A. That's actually, I'll give that an A+, because you're calling your shot on the name of the quarterback. specifically Spencer Rattler to specifically the Cowboys at any point during the draft. And you're getting the plus tacked on there because when they do that, it is an absolute laser gun fired across the bow of Dak Prescott. And people will lose their ever loving minds if the Cowboys draft a quarterback. So I'm here for it.
Yeah, I love that. I'm going to give it an A. I was actually reading, I think Bucky Brooks said the Cowboys should draft a QB at 24th overall. He's just getting ripped, of course, because everyone rips you for every opinion on Twitter.
I did that in my worst mock draft ever, by the way. I had to take a Bo Nix at 24.
Well, that's sounds crazy, but you have a quarterback going to the final year of his contract. This is much milder, though, in terms of it does make sense. And if they did do it, I mean, Cowboys fans would be up in arms thinking that, oh my God, we're going to replace Dak Prescott with Spencer Rattler. So yeah, I love this. I'm also going to give it an A.
But also, don't you just
Did you hear?
Like, just not Spencer Rattler, but don't you just have to draft a quarterback? Like, I know that, yeah, okay, fine. You got Trey Lance. The dude was like an emergency quarterback at the end of the year. I don't think that he's viewed as some sort of, you know, possible heir to Dak Prescott. Even if you do sign him to an extension, you probably should have an insurance policy in the event that you don't.
Well, and don't sleep on the fact that Dak in the 2016 draft was a fourth round pick. Like they weren't drafting Dak like, oh, and Dak fell. I can always forget this. He fell because he got a DUI during the draft process. But I'll own this is one of like the worst takes of all time. I can't believe it hadn't like been dragged. I can't believe I've been dragged on the internet multiple times during the preseason in 2016. I listed the Cowboys as having the worst backup situation in the NFL because they had one fourth-round rookie, and that was it. And then, like, maybe Kellen Moore – I think Kellen Moore got hurt, and they didn't add anybody else. It was just Dak behind Tony, and then Tony, like, gets messed up in the preseason, and Dak just has to start the year and wins Offensive Rookie of the Year. Cowboys go 13-3. Jason Garrett's Coach of the Year. They win the division, make the playoffs. Like – the Cowboys didn't think that they were fine when they drafted Dak. And so that's why like it's why it's so amazing. They just like keep doing this thing with paying him. Jerry Jones, by the way, cited the phrase all in once again this week when discussing the NFL draft, which is just magical that he's like, no, we're all in on the draft. It's like, what are you doing? And stop using that phrase. I got a bold one. I'll do this anyway. The first non-quarterback taken in the 2024 NFL draft will be J.C. Latham.
Ooh. I was waiting for you to see Joe Alt. Okay. All right. That works.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you're going
to the theory on this is Chargers at 5. Right. So the theory on this is, and you can bet this at like 50, 60, 70 to 1 out there in the market. So it's going to crash. J.C. Latham, fifth overall, the odds have cratered on that. And look, again, I try to tell Brady these odds are reactive, right? Like these odds aren't cratering because it's like, oh, this is going to happen. It's because a bunch of people are bashing J.C. Latham to go fifth overall. And the books are like, oh, crap, we've got exposure. Maybe this is something that's been rumored. I think Daniel Jeremiah has mentioned that he is close to penciling in J.C. Latham to the Chargers at 5. DJ is one of the better draft guys out there. Also, the radio voice of the Chargers. So, has some insight into that, even if you've seen a lot of turnover. And by the way, I would watch DJ on the Raiders, too, this year because Tom Telesco, who he worked with, Telesco was with the Chargers basically the whole time DJ was there. So, Jets and Raiders and Chargers are watch his mocks for, when it comes out on, I guess, either Wednesday night. It'll come out tonight. Worth keeping an eye on for betting purposes. But in this instance, you get the three quarterbacks come off the board. Or you could have a situation where it's like J.J. McCarthy goes 3, and then the Giants trade, as we mentioned before, the Giants trade with the Cardinals swap forward 6 to come get Drake May. Or the Vikings are like, look, we'll give you 2025 first as well to come up from 11 – we'll give you 11, 23, and a 2025 first to come up to – and like a second or something like that to come up to 4 to get the quarterback that they want. And if that's the case, then I think the Cardinals would be willing to move down, and you could see 4 quarterbacks followed by – and the logic on J.C. Latham versus Joe Alt is that Joe Alt played entirely left tackle. You have Rashawn Slater, who's not going to move over to the right side. He's a was an all-pros rookie year on the left side of the offensive line. And you have Latham, who would be a perfect Jim Harbaugh run-first, nasty road-grading right tackle you plug in right away, and it would fit what Harbaugh's been talking about this offseason. So I think that's a pretty good bet. If you can find him at 5-1 or him drafted by the Chargers, that's an even better bet if you got decent odds too, of course.
I love that. I give that an A. It would completely shake up most mock drafts because, again, Joe Wall is probably the first offensive lineman on the board, and it feels like, I don't know, 98% of them going to Tennessee. So, yeah, you're telling me that they forego a wide receiver at that spot, especially if you're saying – like all of these quarterbacks go in the top five or top four, they could get Malik Nabers or whoever. That would be pretty remarkable if they come out in the pick, says J.C. Latham.
Yeah, and it's realistic if you think about the Cardinals maybe trading out of four, getting and somebody taking a quarterback there. Then it's like, okay, now five's wide open, and the Chargers, obviously, as Brinson talking about, an offensive lineman wouldn't be crazy, and since Slater's there.
Well, at that point, you wouldn't really be able to trade out of five either because – I don't know that anybody's – yeah, you get four quarterbacks off the board. I don't know anybody's flying up to five for Marvin Harrison Jr. or Malik Nabers at the price you want to get in return, you know?
And if you're the Chargers and you do take Latham overall, as Brinson said, you don't need a left tackle, so it would be – I mean, granted, maybe you kick one of them to right tackle. I'm not sure, but Latham can play right tackle and will – most likely play right tackle, but also you could kick him inside the guard if you wanted to do that during his rookie year, and would probably give you a few more options than Alt would. So yeah, Brinson, this is a little crazy, and I'm going to give you an A-.
Thank you. I appreciate that. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we will boldly suggest who's going to be the biggest riser, who's going to be the biggest faller, and who has the best and worst drafts next.
Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
All right, let's get bold, a little bolder again. We've given out our each two bold predictions. I like that. Let's also talk about who is going to be the biggest riser in this draft and try to be a little bold with it, of course. Sully, you can go first and sort of give your name and give like your – you know, I think you give like the consensus ADP and then like how high you think they'll go.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Byron Murphy the second to be the first defensive player on the board. I think that that is a legit possibility. RJ Emery and Prop Stars are making some great points about him potentially as a player that could hear his name first. I know we all hear about Talis Turner and Jared Verse going to the Atlanta Falcons at number nine. So that, to me, I think feels like somebody who is going to enter that conversation, along with Latu. But I think that Byron Murphy is someone that is not getting a ton of coverage as a possible first defensive player off the board. But a lot of these sharps are pointing to him as a possible guy.
I like it. I mean, and you look at the Falcons, Bears at 8 and 9, you know, and it's all the talk I feel like has been about Dallas Turner, Jared Verse, and the pass rushers. And then you have Murphy kind of sneaking in there as a defensive tackle who might be a better prospect. It just feels like teams value pass rushing more, which is or edge rushers more, which is why we've probably heard more about Dallas Turner. But I feel like he'd be a good fit with Raheem Morris in Atlanta.
And I'll tell you this. I actually know how bold that is real quick. I was just looking on DraftKings. Right now, this must have moved. He's plus 175 to now be the first defensive
player. I think it actually that – is he like to go like sixth or to go eighth overall or something like that? He's not
No, just first defensive player selected. It's Dallas Turner.
That moved. Yeah, that moved either today or like yesterday. I was looking and he was plus 350 to be the first defensive player. So I think you're spot on with that one there. And one of the things that is really being undersold when you think about the Falcons and Byron Murphy, like he's considered fairly easily the best defensive. I think there's a lot of people who think he's the best defensive prospect in this class, but it's sort of one of those things where he's on the interior, but he does rush from the interior. And you think about Aaron Donald, I'm not saying he's going to be Aaron Donald, but you want to have this disruptive defensive tackle who can rush the passer from the interior. That's what the Falcons have in Grady Jarrett. But Grady Jarrett is old, man. I mean, Grady Jarrett got drafted like 2015 or something like that. He's probably doesn't have that much longer in the league. And Raheem Morris, the coach who we're talking about, who's going to run the defense, came from the Rams, where he had Aaron Donald as the focal point of that defense. So why he knows he's got Grady Jarrett, who's like a homeless man's Aaron Donald. I mean, that's not even to knock on Grady Jarrett. It's just like Aaron Donald.
That's how good Aaron Donald is. Yeah.
Right. It's like you want to be a one-legged, one-armed homeless man's version of Aaron Donald, and you're still a really good defensive player. But you add Byron Murphy there, and you can pick up a pass rusher later in the draft, and suddenly, like, you look at the Falcons, and they're kind of cooking with gas and are a very interesting team, make the team better offensively in free agency, and then make it better defensively in the draft. So, yeah, I think those of us who follow it closely, maybe it wouldn't shock people if when he goes early, but I do think people will be like, oh, like I didn't see Byron Murphy's a top 10 pick coming into this. Who you got, Mitch?
I had Michael Penix to start, but we kind of talked about him with the quarterback stuff. And you know, you guys mentioned how high he could end up shooting up and that his under is juiced so much, 32.5, that it feels like he's going to be a first rounder. So I'm going to go with Cooper Jean and just say that he's going to be a top 15 pick. I feel like right now the consensus is right around. A lot of people are projecting him to go 22nd to the Eagles. Feels popular. I don't think I've seen very many mocks that have him going in the top 15, but I just feel like there are so many teams that are itching for a defensive back, for a cornerback in the top 15. You look at the Broncos, the Raiders, the Colts. I think those are three teams who, you know, everybody's connecting Terrion Arnold or Quinyon Mitchell. And then you have kind of this versatile guy who can do anything. He's an interesting chess piece to put with a defense. And I wouldn't be surprised if he gets picked ahead of Mitchell or Arnold, maybe not the first DB, but the second DB. So that's why I'm saying the top 15 and one of the first two DBs off the board.
Yeah, I think Indy's a really interesting spot for him at 15. So you'd be spot on. You'd get right in there because I like them to maybe get another wide receiver or a pass catcher. Like if Brock Bowers is there, or if there's like a legit, you know, if somehow some dude falls out of the wide receiver trio, then sure, you jump on it. But I don't know if anybody like that's going to be there for them. So I would love for them to continue to solidify that secondary. And if you could bring in a guy like Cooper Jean, I think that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, I think that's a great name. Penix would be the guy. Penix is the guy that I was going to mention too. But you're right, we did already talk about him. I think I don't know. I'm curious to see if like how much of this Penix stuff is smoke and how much is fire. I mean, you hear, Brady Quinn said yesterday on the podcast, he's like his tape, like he might have the best tape in the class of any quarterback, just in terms of like what he did at Washington and how he played the final game, you know, losing to Michigan, to playing the way he did, certainly taints it a little bit. His age, the injury history, all that is there, but like just the tape. And, you know, I mean, I think sometimes we go, I mean, look, the age thing, it matters, you know, he and Bo Nix are older, but it's also like, hey, this isn't like, you know, Brandon Whedon. Why did I say Cooper? It's in like Brandon Whedon, where he's 29 and he played in like this, you know, Brandon Whedon plays, you know, Pac-12 defenses. I think teams are quarterback thirsty and they don't mind the idea of throwing this guy in there from jump street.
I really think it's conceivable that he's a top 10 pick. And I think the Jets spot at number 10 specifically makes a lot of sense because if all of a sudden, let's just say Minnesota trades up or if Minnesota even stands pat, but JJ McCarthy's off the board, including the top three consensus in Williams, Daniels, and May, you have kind of a bidding war going on at 10 to either leapfrog Minnesota or if you are Minnesota to move up to 10 to eliminate a leapfrog scenario between the Raiders, the Saints, you could even talk about the Broncos. There's a lot of teams, even, you know, Seattle, I've mentioned them as a possible Penix landing spot just because of the OC. There's a lot of teams in those mid-teens, early teens that might want to just leap in front of everybody else to take that quarterback.
Yeah, Seattle, a wild card for sure to take a possible quarterback. The one thing with Seattle is, like, if you're going to keep rolling with Geno, what's that?
It's Sam Howell, too, they brought in.
Yeah, I mean, like, they didn't give up much. I was thinking more like you're drafting a guy in Penix who's already older, and then you're going to, you know, although, I mean, they drafted Russ, who was an older prospect when he was coming out of Wisconsin, so who knows? Okay. The other guy I'll throw out there for a possible riser, and I'm, you know, credit to Pete Prisco, had this in his what team should do mock draft, which, by the way, we're like trolling Pete by telling him that we think it's his real mock draft. He's like, don't you idiots how to read? Like, he's like freaking out, like yelling at us. We're like, no, Pete, your final mock predicted Jaden Daniels going first overall. Like, I'm sorry, that's what you predicted. You're locked in. He's like, it's not a real mock. I have another mock coming out. anyway, Chop Robinson. Like, here's the thing with this pass rush class, the edge rusher out of Penn State. You have Latu from UCLA, and then you have Dallas Turner from Alabama. Everything is so focused on these quarterbacks and these receivers and then the offensive linemen. Like, I think it's really being lost that you could, and it, you know, Byron Murphy there as well. Like, I don't think it's inconceivable that you end up seeing Chop Robinson, who, by the way, he's 60-1 to be the first edge or defensive lineman off the board. That's a pretty good little splash to take, I think, at FanDuel, where maybe some, you know, maybe, I don't know, like, everybody's blocking in the Titans to take an offensive lineman, and I get it, and I think they're going to do that, but teams can say, oh, I don't know, we think this guy's a really good edge player, we're just going to draft the pass rusher, and I think everybody just sort of lost sight of the defensive players in this draft.
Well, not only that, Will, it's said that this entire draft is wide receiver and tackle deep. So if you just go into that logic, you'd say, okay, maybe we take the defensive player first and we'll be fine with whatever that consolation is at tackle or wide receiver later.
All right. How about a faller, Breach?
I'm going to go with Johnny Newton. Look, when you talked about the best defensive tackles, I feel like a few weeks ago it was Byron Murphy, who we were talking about a little bit earlier. And Newton, and the only reason I think he could fall is just because he is dealing with kind of coming off a foot injury. I think he had offseason foot surgery. And when you look at that with a defensive tackle, that's just a question mark you don't want to be dealing with. So I could see teams, just because of the injury risk, passing on him in the first round, and you see him fall into the second round. I think in most mock drafts I've seen, he is going in the first round. So I think it would be a little bit of a surprise if he falls to the second round. My gosh, I'm going to go ahead and say that happens.
Well, that's the other thing, too. You know, these teams, the domino can happen really quickly, where if all of a sudden one team doesn't take them or that free fall starts to fall, people will say, okay, well, what's wrong? What's wrong with his medicals? Did something come up? What don't we know? And let's just take him off our board entirely. Like, that happens more often than you think in the NFL.
With Bo Callahan and draft day.
So, I mean, well, yes. I guess that's true, too. Happens even in the motion pictures. So, yeah, no, I could totally see something along those lines.
I'm going to take Latu out of UCLA. I'm just going to call him Latu for the rest of his career. Like, I'm never going to say his first name. How do you pronounce his first name? Is it
Latu.
Okay, I can do that. I can figure that out. Oh, we just went 3 wide for some reason. Oh, that was bizarre. Sure, giant head face. Oh, it's fine, Barry. Keep it up. It doesn't bother me. More of me. I think Latu is a guy where there's some buzz about medical issues. And with the depth at wide receiver, with the depth at a line, like one of the offensive line, like one of the groups, the offensive line or the wide receivers is going to have, I think, is going to have a big run. And that's going to push the other part of that group. So, like, the Chiefs and the Bills, yeah, everybody's like, oh, I need to take a wide receiver. Like, I could see them ending up sitting back there and be like, we're going to take an offensive lineman because the good ones fell to us and we'll take a wide receiver the next round. I think we just see a run on one of those. And then, so as a result, you know, like, you could see Murphy, Chop Robinson go early, but I think Latu is a guy that could slip a little bit because of those medicals.
Yeah, that makes sense. Mine is a little bit more, you know, it's not a fall because people don't like the prospect. I wonder if Jaden Daniels is going to try to force himself to the Raiders, and could we That's see nice. A fall? Maybe not all the way down to where the Raiders are currently picking, but even if he falls, I don't know, out of 2. Like, that I still think is a considerable fall for a guy that we all feel like is odds on pegged to be the number two overall pick to the Commanders, but there has been so much smoke, so much, I don't even know if we call it smoke at this point. We just know the relationship.
I mean, played for Antonio, played with, right. played for we Antonio Pierce as a coach.
We know the relationship yeah. between Antonio Pierce and Jaden Daniels. I mean, you know, we even interviewed Rashad White a few weeks ago on this podcast, and he's went, you know, played with Jaden Daniels, and he was even mentioning the Raiders. Like, clearly, he wants to go play for the Raiders. He just knows he can't go play for the Raiders. But I do wonder if we get to a Eli Manning situation, and if he falls to kind of try to get to a spot where he thinks the Raiders could trade up and go get him. I'd just be curious about that. Again, not likely, but I do wonder, you know, how much Jaden Daniels really wants to play for the Raiders.
What would be really interesting about that breach, I think, is if the feeling is mutual, and why wouldn't it be? We're talking about the Heisman Trophy winner and somebody who's considered like a consensus or like could go second overall, where that's why you could still see Drake May go second overall because watch. And like, I saw Adam Levitan of Established Run tweet this out. There's like a lot of instances where Jaden Daniels is sort of quasi publicly noted that he's cool in the Washington, didn't love his agent, didn't love them bringing in 20 guys. There's something that like a couple of different things where he's in. And I think you can make the case that, let's say the Raiders, you know, Mark Davis is like, yeah, like, let's go get this guy. You could call the Patriots and say, we'll give you 3 first-round picks. So if you're the Raiders, to move up to number 3 from number 11. If you're the Patriots, you have to take that. Like, you have to take that from a team in the same division as Patrick Mahomes. You have to take that. Like, this team is going to play Patrick Mahomes twice a year, Justin Herbert twice a year, and then even, like, the Broncos, who are at least coached by Sean Payton, not Nathaniel Hackett now. Like, if you can get that 3 first-round picks, which is what I think it would cost to go from 11 to 3 to get Jaden Daniels, that's a no-brainer.
But if you're the Raiders, you're going from 13 to 3, so you're going even further
13
back.
To 3, not 11.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The Vikings would have to go from 11 to 3. Yeah, it just, I mean, this would be crazy if it happened, because it would, I mean, you basically have to have Jaden Daniels call up the Commanders or his agent and say, we're going to sit out if you draft us and we're not going to play. And so you better just call the Raiders and make a trade. He'd have to pull an Eli or a John Elway. But he did, you know, he was interviewed Wednesday morning and said he'd be blessed to go wherever he's called to go. And it felt like he was kind of trying to just make
swing it back
here. Yeah. Yeah. Kind of put the toothpaste
back in the tube. Right.
Yeah. And so it does feel like it's headed with him going to the Commanders, but it is just interesting to think if he's not happy about being there, that, you know, Antonio Pierce might call after year one and be like, look, things didn't work. We'll take him still. We'd still be more than happy to have him.
By the way, Jaden Daniels out to -550 at FanDuel to be the number 2 overall pick. Drake May -290 to be the number 3 overall pick. You can still get +350 on McCarthy to go 4th overall, +430 on McCarthy to go 3rd overall. And of course, the aforementioned trade we talked about, where the Patriots and the Giants swap, could easily involve May being drafted 3rd and being traded to the team that is picking 6, right? Where it's not like the Giants and the Pats make that swap. Because then the Patriots would be stuck at 6 and wouldn't be guaranteed McCarthy. All right. Team that ends up with the best draft breach, quintessential breach.
What? Taking
the easiest first.
No, I never take the easiest,
team,
but I'm doing it.
Takes the team with 2 first-round, 2 top 10 picks. Breach boldly claims the Bears will come away with the best draft. Sell it to us in a way that isn't Captain Obvious, with the Bears having the number 1 overall pick for a generational quarterback prospect and a 9th overall pick where they're guaranteed a really good defensive player or a really good wide receiver. Gee, Breach, what a bold limb you've leaped out on.
This doesn't say bold prediction part of the podcast. It just says who's going to have the best draft. And I
was in the impression we were boldly predicting who would have the best
draft. Yeah, we're done with the bold predictions. Now we're just going with who's going to have the best draft.
Also, quickly, you know, he's messing with you because the Bears have 2 first-round picks. All of our picks, all of the teams, not to be super spoiler, all of the teams that we picked have 2 first-round picks. Yeah.
I saw y'all's, and I was like, well, I'm taking a team with 2 picks, too. Like, screw that, dude.
I mean, look, there's no way for the Bears to screw this up. As long as they take Caleb Williams first overall, they're going to do that. I think they're going to take a page out of the Texans' playbook from last year. We saw Houston obviously take C.J. Stroud and turn around and take Will Anderson, and I think that's what the Bears will do. Not like they're going to trade up to 4, but they're going to pair their quarterback with a star defensive player, and they're going to have two anchors on each side of the ball, and that's what they're going to build their team around going forward. So that I think they're going to take a defensive player ninth overall, unless one of the top three receivers falls in a lap, then maybe they'll change their mind. But I just don't see a way for the Bears to screw this up, which is great news for Bears fans. This draft is unscrew-upable. You just make the picks, and your team is better going into next season, and you have your franchise quarterback.
I think that there's an interesting aspect to that, too, where, you know, we've seen twice in the last 2 years with Garrett Wilson and Sauce Gardner, followed by C.J. Stroud and Will Anderson. Caleb Williams is the favorite to win Offensive Rookie of the Year. If you go out and you get in your draft the Offensive Rookie and the Defensive Rookie of the Year, you know who doesn't want to fire you? Your boss, because you just landed two of the best rookies in the league, right? Like, you just landed the two best rookies in the league. We're, like, close to it. And so if you – the pairing of the offensive and the defensive player, like, of course you want to supplement the quarterback with a wide receiver possibly, but you are, you know, like, you're going to make it – you know what I'm saying? Where it's like, it's just good PR. And Ryan Poles very clearly not opposed to good PR. The man is constantly leaking out his plans and how well he's doing.
And once the second they get outside of the top 10, their draft is half over. They have four picks in this draft. So it's not like they can even
squeeze golf. You can squeeze a round of golf in on Friday. Yeah.
You can't even screw it up with like a reach later on. You're making two more picks. So it's like, okay, how much badly can you screw this up? As long as you come away with Caleb Williams, which you will, and maybe the best defensive player on the board, you're doing pretty well for yourself out of the gate.
Well, I mean, here's how you screw it up. You get hammered playing golf on Thursday. Forget to show up to the draft room on Thursday night. Let the clock expire. And then you're stuck with Jaden Daniels because the Commanders suddenly moved up to number one. So maybe wait till Friday to play your round of golf, Ryan Poles, or even Saturday when you're doing that. So you've got the Cardinals, and I've got the Vikings. I mean, this is just good business by us, right? Like, I mean, like, the only time I remember a team with multiple first-round picks screwing up a draft was the Raiders in 2019. And they had three of them, and they completely botched the draft. It was unbelievable to watch. It's like, you took Cleveland Farrell first overall, which is the first pass rusher. What are you doing? He's not even the best defensive player on his own team. It's Christian Wilkins is better than Cleveland Farrell. And it's like, who did they take? Trevion, who's the safety they took?
As well?
They took Josh Jacobs ended up being good, but it was like, you took a running back? Like, come on, man. It was insane how poorly they screwed it up. But I think the Cardinals, in particular with their picks, of course, they had the Texans' first-round pick. They thought it would be higher. Their own is four. I think you're right. I mean, well, go ahead, Sal. You break it down what you think.
I think they could be a winner in multiple ways, right? Like, I think that they could come away with Marvin Harrison Jr. and completely reignite their offense because they're depleted at wide receiver. And then you take best player available later on in the draft in the late 20s, or, and again, this is a team that has 11 picks overall tied for the most in the draft. So they're going to have a lot of kicks at the can to try to bring in talent. But you could also, in a world, trade up with, say, your team, the Minnesota Vikings, to let them come up to get their quarterback. They don't need a quarterback because they have Kyler Murray, and you just acquired 11 and 23 on top of what you already have. You own the draft at that point. Any player that you want, you can move around the board to go get. So you can come away with three first-round talents if you want, or you can collect some of those to move up to specifically identify a player that you want. There's just a lot of flexibility with the Cardinals, which is why I think that they could end up being the biggest winner.
Absolutely. Even if you just come away with just Marvin Harrison Jr.,
you're doing all right.
And then you have whoever you find at 23, I think people are going to be like, all right, you know, Mad Diasifort, remain patient. Didn't move out of spot, got his guy. And that's sort of my logic for the Vikings too. Like, Kwesi can either make a big bold move up to get a quarterback. Everybody's like, he set the stage early on by getting who did he get the pick from? Was it from the Texans? Yeah, he's like setting the stage early on from getting the Texans' first round pick and then moving up, slightly moving up to grab the quarterback and really, you know, reset this franchise after the departure of Kirk Cousins. Or it's like you just sit 11-23. Maybe you move around, as you pointed out in your bold prediction, Sully. Or you're like, it's like, he didn't overpay. Like, he was, you know, he saw the price, and you might have a quarterback fall to you at 11. Maybe take Michael Penix at 11 and give another player at 23, and people are like, well, I mean, he did add a receiver with Michael Penix and Justin Jefferson. And there's just, when you have multiple picks, there's just multiple ways to win.
Yeah, it's the flexibility for me. And you know, it's weird because Chicago doesn't feel like a team that has, like, the flexibility that we're talking about with the Cardinals right. and the Vikings, but only because they're locked into a generational talent at one, and they're probably going to take possibly the best defensive player at number eight overall, so or whatever they're at. They're at nine, I think, eight or nine.
Yeah.
But nine, to me, yeah. to me, that just, again, with Minnesota, you can win in so many different ways. It's the same argument that you just made. If they remain patient at 11 and then take a guy at 23, you're sitting pretty no matter which way you slice it.
All right, so worth noting a couple things here really quickly. The Lions, by the way, the draft is in Detroit. I love what the Lions are doing. I don't know if you've seen this. You obviously saw that they extended Amon St. Brown to a massive deal. He's now the highest paid wide receiver. Penei Sewell, as we were talking, just got a brand new deal with $85 million guaranteed. And there is buzz about Jared Goff getting a new contract as well, which they probably announce either later tonight or tomorrow. Essentially, the Lions are like, hey, we just made the NFC title game. We're hosting the draft. This is a party in our city. And we're announcing, it's like, you get a contract, and you get a contract, and you get a contract. So I'll say that the best moment of the draft will be when the Lions spoil everybody's draft by announcing a Jared Goff contract extension. Actually, I think the best moment will be whatever. I think there's going to be a big trade up, like a big trade, whether it's Breach talking about the Bills make this crazy move up. And you have that moment of suspense where it's like, trade! It's like the Bill. It's like when you hear that somebody's moved like 10 spots up, like a big leap up in the draft, or somebody moves into the top five, there's this moment of like just adrenaline and suspense where you're like, do you remember the Saints traded up to get Marcus Davenport? And it was like, oh my God, Sean Payton has come up and he's getting Lamar Jackson. He's going to unleash hell on the, like, this is incredible. And then, and it wasn't that, but you know, but you get the point. So I'll say the best moment, the real best moment, not the Jared Goff extension that we think is going to happen, but the big trade up. Sully, what's your big moment of the 2024 NFL draft?
Well, I'll give you a Lions one, and then I'll give you one that I'm actually looking forward to as well. I do think that we'll get some sort of like Eminem cameo with Dan Campbell. I just feel like that is going to happen. He's already doing commercials. Eminem is with Roger Goodell. If all of a sudden he starts like performing and Dan Campbell's out there with like during Lose Yourself, the internet's mind is going to melt during that whole performance. So I think that's would be probably the top moment there as well. But for me, the number one thing I'm looking forward to outside of like the picks and all of that, this is more outside of the draft. And Breach, you mentioned it earlier. I'm fascinated to see how Bill Belichick analyzes the Patriots draft. I cannot wait to hear what he says. And it could be boring. It could very much be like, well, you know, we like Gerard and he knows, you know, he could be boring. But even if he's boring, I think it's fascinating that this dude is analyzing the team that he just ran for 20 years and just got booted and dragged through the mud over the last few months. I can't wait to hear what he says about his team.
I mean, I'm going to probably watch the McAfee coverage.
Like, I'm at least watching three, and you know, I'm at least flicking it on in one of my screens during the Patriots.
Yeah, I'm going to have it. Yeah, like I mean, it might be like main screen is actual draft, and then second screen is Belichick with audio or something, you know, something like that, just to find out what he's saying. Breach, any moment, any possible moment stand out for you? I know you're a big moment guy.
Look, I'm a classic. I love the classics, and the all-time classic moment every year is Roger Goodell walking out on the stage to start the events off, and all you hear is boo. And look, I'm guessing Goodell's not hugely popular in Detroit. There aren't many teams that have been more screwed over by weird calls over the years than the Lions. You know, we saw the phantom pass interference, whatever it was, against the Cowboys in the playoffs a few years ago, or almost a decade ago now, my goodness. But there's just been so many things involving the Lions. They changed the catch rule one year because the Calvin Johnson thing in the end zone. And so I think Lions fans are going to enjoy their chance to boo old Roger Goodell. And I want to see some chest bumps from the guys in attendance with Goodell. I always enjoy those.
I also think it's worth noting too with Lions fans that like this is not a bunch of like sad, angry Lions fans who are, you know, like depressed about a top, you know, they have a top 10 pick. You know, so they're picking like 11th and they don't, you know, nothing's ever going to be good again. Or it's, you know, like it's, they're picking late in the draft. But they are like, just as, you know, and again, like I think the Lions and NC State, like we, you know, NC State fans were like suddenly like, we're like, yeah, we won a championship. Like, all right, like, yeah, we'll be a little saucy. Like, I feel like Lions fans are going to be out there like full throat, just like getting hammered, getting pumped for this draft and making a lot of noise.
And we won't even have to wait that long because you got to remember, too, the team that has the number one pick in the draft is a division rival in the Chicago Bears. So welcome to the NFL, Caleb Williams. We're going to boo the crap out of you here in Detroit.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's actually a great point. They're going to, like, unleash hell on Caleb Williams. It'll be funny to see how Caleb Williams plays in his career against the Lions, especially if the fans do, like, just be like, get lost, loser! All right.
Well, on that note, though, real quick, it's funny that we made our list of teams that might have the best draft, and two of our teams are from the NFC North. So, gonna be a lot of boos.
That's true too. We get, I mean, not guaranteed because we can see the Vikings trade up, but like it's possible we see the Vikings trade. Like, I mean, it's very possible we see the Bears take their franchise quarterback and the Vikings take a franchise quarterback, both in the top five in Detroit. Like, for that going down, I mean, that would be, man, that would be something. I mean, that would make for some spice, I think, in terms of future montages and crowd noises. All right, that'll do it for us. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. We will be live after the draft. 45-minute recap podcast, give or take. So make sure to turn on alerts on YouTube. For Sully, for Breach, I'm Brenton. We'll see you guys later.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.